You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bible to the great book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 24, verse 45, where we left off last time. Matthew chapter 24, verse 45. Before we begin, I want to invite every Christian in America to join me right here every Wednesday at 6 p.m. After I teach the word, we pray fervently for America, for the world, and then I invite everybody to come up one by one individually. I lay hands on them. The Holy Spirit moves and often gives me a word of prophecy to each one or a word of knowledge. So you're missing your blessing by not coming. God talks to you personally on Wednesday night. You're also invited to come each Sunday at 5 p.m. for the live radio broadcast taping, live internet taping, and live SoundCloud taping. I'm in Suntree, Florida. I'm right beside Scott versus the produce place. The produce place is at the corner of Wickham Road and Panita Causeway. I'm right there. You'll see a sign, Sherry Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, 2565 Sellers Lane, Melbourne, Florida. Matthew chapter 24 and Matthew chapter 25 are twins. They are a continuation. They are two of the most critical, crucial chapters for you to learn, all of you who are alive on planet Earth now, because it tells us that we are at the end of the age. Jesus told us in verses 1 through 22 that the end is very near. The signs are upon us. He gave us the signs. Everyone's been completed except the actual Antichrist, the devil with his Jesus costume on, who's about to come. He comes just a little bit before Jesus. That time has been shortened for the elect's sake. And then from verse 23 to 44, we learned, Jesus taught us, that 666 comes before 777. Seven is God's perfect number. God is perfect. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It also means the seventh trump, the last one out when Jesus comes. 666 is the mark of the beast, the devil. He always wants to be seven, God, but he's just a six. In the world that then was, he was Lucifer, and he wanted to be seven, so he said, I will be God. In the Garden of Eden, he wanted to be seven. He wanted to be the tree of life, but it was just the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that old serpent, the devil, not a snake, just a metaphor for his low-down character. Soon and very soon, he's coming back to planet Earth. He's going to be kicked out of the sky by Michael the Archangel, Revelation 12, and he's going to land his feet in Jerusalem. And he's going to call himself seven. He's going to call himself Christ. He's going to call himself God. But he's still six. He's the Antichrist, the instead of Christ, the fake Christ, the devil with his Jesus costume on. And now, verse 45 to the end of Matthew 24, from God's heart to my heart to your heart, stay in the field. The field is the world. Stay in the field. The field is the world.
Verse 45. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household?
Proverbs tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So if you're a wise servant, you love the Lord, but that's not all.
To give them meat in due season.
You don't just stay a baby Christian with the milk of the word. You go to the meat of the word. You know the three earth and heaven ages. You know the fallen angels. You know the seduction in the garden. And you know what I taught you in Revelation. The sixth trump is the devil and the seventh is Jesus. You don't have the milk. You have the meat. And you not only know it yourself, but you share it with everybody you meet. Now that's a wise servant.
Amen.
Verse 46. Blessed is that servant who, when his Lord cometh, findeth him so doing.
Blessed means how happy. When the real Lord Jesus comes at the seventh trump, that wise servant is so happy because he stayed in the field, because he had the meat of the word, and he knew that the devil comes first pretending to be Jesus, even saying peace and safety. So he's very happy, and Jesus is happy. Stay in the field.
Verse 47. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods.
Ruler means to reign. In Revelation chapter 20, it says that the real Jesus comes after the fake one. Those of us who are wise servants and have stayed in the field, have not been deceived, we're going to rule and reign with Jesus 1,000 years. Because when Jesus comes, 1 Corinthians 15:52 says, every human being on planet Earth, saved and lost alike, will change from your flesh body to your air body, your spirit body. And Jesus is not coming to fly you away. He's coming to stay. There's going to be the day of the Lord. In other words, that's 1,000 years, but we're all in a spiritual body, so you don't get tired. And those who stayed are going to get to teach in the millennium. Ezekiel chapter 44 talks about that and says there's going to be great teaching. It's the most exciting time in the world. I can't wait for it. The devil will be locked into the pit, so we can't interrupt with Bible class. So at last, we're going to hear the truth. Okay, now those who stay in the field are going to be those teachers, but if you don't stay in the field, you're going to be in real trouble.
Verse 48. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming.
He calls you evil if you're not a wise servant, because evil is the opposite of wise, really, in spiritual terms. Peter says that in the end, the last hour, we're here, the hour of temptation, people are going to say, you know, it's been over 2,000 years since Jesus left, and they stop looking for Jesus. They're not concerned about that anymore. They're concerned about themselves.
Verse 49, I shall begin to smite his fellow servants.
Now, this doesn't mean to hit each other with your fist there. It means to hit you with lies. In other words, when somebody else, the wise servant, says, you better look out, the Antichrist is coming before Jesus, they hit you and say, eh, I don't believe that.
And to eat and drink with a drunken.
We learned last time that Jesus said it'll be just like the days of Noah. They were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, and they knew not till the flood came and took them all away. The fallen angels had come in and married the beautiful daughters of Eth-Hadam and produced giant Sceva, so that's what caused the flood. But all of those people who did not believe were taken by the flood. See, when you're taken, you are had, you're conned, you've been deceived. Stay in the field.
Verse 50. The Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of.
Why is that? Because the eating and drinking and marrying means that the unwise ones will marry the Antichrist, who will look like Jesus, act like Jesus, talk like him. Two horns of a lamb, the power of Jesus, but it's the voice of a dragon. He'll say peace and safety, cause craft to prosper. They will have eaten the marriage supper of the Antichrist and drunk a toast to the Antichrist. And so, therefore, they don't really know when the real Jesus comes. But when they hear God's very elect, the wise ones, delivered up to Antichrist, the Holy Spirit speaking through God's elect, then the unwise ones will say, oh my Lord, we married the devil. He had his Jesus costume on. And they are going to be very disturbed. They are not looking for Jesus because they think he's already come. The Bible says, blessed are those who look for his appearance. He's coming for those who look for him. But if you've already married the Antichrist, who comes as disguised as Jesus, you won't be looking for the real Jesus.
Verse 51. I shall cut him asunder, and shall point him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
When the deceived people realize they worship the devil, And many of them are church people, as we're about to learn in Matthew 25. They love Jesus. They went to church. They said, oh, my Lord, they can't stand to face Jesus. So they call for the mountains and the rocks to fall upon them. Stay in the field. The field is the world.
Matthew chapter 25, verse 1.
From God's heart to my heart to your heart, two bridegrooms, whose bride will you be? Two bridegrooms, whose bride will you be?
Verse 1. When shall the kingdom of heaven be like?
Okay, Jesus is coming back and he's going to establish his kingdom on earth. So he continues to tell us of the end of the age, and we are here.
Unto 10 virgins.
It'll be like 10 virgins. Okay, this is a metaphor. 10 is a number of wholeness, W-H-O-L-E. Your feet have 10 toes, your hands have 5 fingers, so they are whole. So that means the whole body of Christ alive right now on planet Earth, okay? And virgins means that right now, at this point, not one Christian of the whole body of Christ has yet been deceived by the Antichrist, because the Antichrist is on his way, but he's not yet come. So right now, all 10, the whole Church of Jesus Christ on planet Earth, right now you're spiritually virginal. You've not married the Antichrist. So far, so good, but look out.
Christ took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom.
The lamp would be every Christian, for Jesus says you're the light of the world. The wise Christians and the foolish Christians, we're all the lamps there. So every Christian on earth says, okay, Jesus is coming again. So they're looking forward to that.
Verse 2, and 5 of them were wise.
Thank goodness for that, the wise. Now remember, the wise love the Lord and they know the mystery of God. They know that 6 comes before 7. And that 6 is the Antichrist, looking just like Jesus, bringing peace on earth, saying, I'll give you money not to work. I mean, see, his political system's already doing that. They are very wise. They stay in the field.
And 5 were foolish.
Okay, the 5 wise ones are God's very elect who are alive right now here on planet Earth. 7,000 elect who will not bow the knee to Baal to the Antichrist. It's not a literal number. The 5 foolish ones are half of the body of Christ. They are alive right now. They love Jesus. They go to church, but they are foolish. Why is that? They are believing the lie that a demented woman, Margaret MacDonald, began in 1832. She was demented. Demented comes from the word demon, demented. Just like one of our leaders, if he, saying he's Catholic, would say abortion is good, we'd say he's demented. Amen. And of course he is.
Amen.
This demented woman said, and she's demented, that Jesus is coming back to fly us away. Demons said that. 2 itinerant preachers said, that'll preach. Boy, we're going to America. We're going to be famous. We're going to get rich with that. But they didn't have a scripture to go with it. So they took a scripture out of context. The Bible is orderly. You never take a scripture out of context. It was a figure of speech, a metaphor. 1 Thessalonians 4, caught up in the air. But air does not mean to fly into the sky. It means to change into your air body when the real Jesus comes, the breath of the spirit body, which we will do, 1 Corinthians 15:52. When the real Jesus comes, we'll change into that. 1 Thessalonians 4 is a comforting chapter. The subject there is, if you have loved ones who died, who are saved, you don't have to grieve for them like the world grieves for them. Because when the real Jesus comes back and every eye shall see him, they're coming back with him. You can't precede them. They've already changed into their air body, their spirit body. And when they come and land here with Jesus, you're going to be caught up in the air. That means you're going to change into your spirit. And we're all going to be right here on planet Earth. Nobody's flying away. The millennium begins 1,000 years and then heaven on Earth. So you see, demented woman. Oh, hallelujah. Wrong bridegroom.
Verse 3. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them.
They have no oil. Now, oil is two of the names of God, Elyon in the Hebrew, Elohim in Yahweh, and God is the Word of God. Half of the body of Christ do not have enough oil, Word of God, in them to know the difference. They do not know that six comes before seven. They just want to not be here when the Antichrist comes. They want to fly away. Oil also is the Holy Spirit. They do not have the baptism of the Holy Spirit to bring back to them remembrance of what Christ said. Okay, they have no Word and they have no Holy Spirit. Half the body of Christ, right, and love Jesus with all their heart. Probably some of you listening to me out in cyberspace, but you know, he's given you a second chance to hear the truth.
Verse 4. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps.
You are a vessel, and I am a vessel. The wise have their vessels, their soul, their spirit filled with every word of God. It's not something they hear and going about their worldly business. It's not only their head, it goes down. It's swimming around in them. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4, man lives by every word of God. So when any kind of a lie comes to God's elect, the 7,000 alive right now, the wise ones, we just dip into our vessel, and the Holy Spirit brings back to our remembrance the Word of God. And no matter what the devil brings to us, we just keep on trucking. We don't stop, because our vessels are filled with the Word of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Verse 5. While the bridegroom tarried.
Now, Jesus has been gone only 2 days and a few hours, because a day with the Lord is 1,000 years. But some people say, oh, it's been over 2,000 years, okay. Why is Jesus waiting a while? Why is he tarrying? Because Revelation 9, God has already told the Antichrist, the king of the bottomless pit, do not touch anyone who has the seal of God in their forehead, the word of God, in other words. So right now, Jesus is tarrying. We're at the 11:30 hour before midnight. He's tarrying so someone, probably under the sound of my voice, can hear this truth so we will not be deceived. He loves you that much. That's why he's waiting. So everybody who's going to get the truth will hear the truth. You're hearing it now.
They all slumbered and slept.
The Church of Jesus Christ has been asleep for a long, long, long time, except for God's very elect. Okay, you went to sleep when your ministries got big and you got rich and famous. You got your facelifts, you got your hair done, you got your designer's clothes, the money was coming in, and you got famous, you started having fun, and you went to sleep, and you left out Revelation that the sixth trump comes before seven. You are asleep. You're asleep. When you're asleep, you don't know what's going on.
Verse 6, and at midnight.
Now, midnight actually is 12 a.m. And that is a new day. It's the day of the Lord, the seventh trump, when the real Jesus will come and will all change from our flesh bodies into our spiritual bodies. Now, Psalm 22 was Jesus teaching on the cross, and it's entitled Arjales Shehar, the dawning of a new day. So at the actual midnight hour, 12 a.m., is when the real Jesus comes. But there's a midnight hour, the hour of temptation, because remember, the Antichrist time's been shortened for the elect's sake, Mark 13, to 5 months in Revelation 9. So right now, we're in the midnight hour. It's about 11:30 p.m. This is a metaphor, not actual time. And so we have a little bit of time when the Antichrist is coming. So you see, if you're asleep and somebody says, Jesus is here, and it's 11:30, you rub your eyes and say, oh, goody, Jesus has come.
There was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh.
So just before the real Jesus comes at 12 a.m. at 11:30, and we end that hour right now, the sixth trump's going to sound completely, sounding a little bit now, the political system of the Antichrist, the first piece of Revelation. And we're going to hear breaking news on every media. The Savior has returned. We saw him come in the sky. Revelation 12, Michael kicks him out. He lands his feet in Jerusalem. He's calling himself Theosata in the Greek, God's Savior. He's Christ, but he's the Antichrist. And all of those who are asleep, no oil in their lamp, will go and marry him. The whole world will, and half the body of Christ. You love Jesus. You go to church, not on Wednesdays, of course, but you go sometime, maybe on Sunday. But you're so busy with yourself, you did not get enough oil in your vessel, and you marry the wrong bridegroom.
Ooh. Go ye out to meet him.
Go to meet him. So this deceived half of the body of Christ will say, oh, we're going to fly away. And they said, well, we're not flying yet. So they get in an airplane and go to Jerusalem to see Jesus, but it's not Jesus. They are deceived. Six comes before seven, the wrong bridegroom.
Verse 7. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps.
Now, the whole body of Christ then, all ten, everybody on planet Earth, the ones who are deceived, the ones who are not deceived, the wise and the foolish, will all say, wait. See, even the very elect will say, okay, okay. Satan says he's Jesus. Peace and safety cause craft to prosper. We're trimming our lamps. We're trimming up. We're reaching our vessels. And we'll read Revelation again. Six comes before seven. But the foolish ones say, ooh, let me fix my hair. Let me get an airplane. Let me go to him. Jesus, Jesus, I love you. Everybody's alert now that the six trump sound. But the deceived think it's a seven trump. But the elect know it's not it. They stay in the field.
Verse 8, and the foolish said to the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps have gone out.
Now, the foolish go and marry the Antichrist, thinking he's Jesus, the marriage supper of the Antichrist. But then when the Antichrist delivers God's very elect, the wise ones, up to him, because we will not worship him, the foolish ones are going to hear the elect speak by the power of the Holy Spirit. Then the foolish church, the church they really love Jesus, say, oh my God, we worship the devil. We were deceived. So they run to God's elect and say, look, we got mixed up. We thought that was Jesus. Jesus is about to come. We know you're not deceived. Will you put in a good word for us to Jesus and tell him to accept us anyway? Because we went to church, but not on Wednesday, but we went on Sunday and we love the Lord. And so would you put in a good word for us?
Verse 9, but the wise answered, saying, not so.
No.
Lest there be not enough for us and you.
It'll be too late then, because you see, the wise ones have a job to do. They have to look carefully to see the real Jesus coming, and it's too late now. Once that seventh trump sound, it's too late. Sorry, Charlie. Oh, hallelujah. It's too late, but it's not too late for the wise ones.
Then go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves.
Why don't you go to those preachers, the wise one will say, who told you you were going to fly away? They sold you a bill of goods, and you bought that bill of goods, hook, line, and sinker. Go tell them to intercede for Jesus, and let them tell Jesus they told you wrong, and let them ask Jesus to forgive you.
Verse 10, and while they went to buy.
Okay. The deceived church will go to the preachers and say, look, you told us we were going to fly away. We went to Antichrist, and he's a devil. Why did you tell us that? Would you please go to Jesus and tell him that you lied to us and get us out of this? That's half the body of Christ alive right now on planet Earth.
The bridegroom came.
Ta-da, ta-da, seventh trump sound. The heavens roll back like a scroll. The Lord Jesus Christ descends. Every eye shall see him, and they which pierced him. And all nations shall wail because of him. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Not a sneak preview. every eye shall see him.
Amen.
And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage.
Those who had their robe of righteousness on, their garments were not soiled. They had not gone to the marriage bed of the Antichrist. They were not scented with his filthy stench. They were pure. They were holy. They waited for seven.
And the door was shut.
The Gospel of John says Jesus is the door. And so half the body of Christ, the wise ones, God's elect alive right now, will go into the door. The door is Jesus. And the door will come in to the bride, and we will be married. The real marriage supper of the Lamb.
Verse 11. Afterwards came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us.
Lord, open the door. We went to church on Sunday. We did not go on Wednesday. Of course, we weren't that sanctified. We didn't get the Word of God. Well, we even preached sermons. We cast out demons. We played piano. We played organ. We sang, oh, Jesus, Jesus, open up, open up.
Verse 12, and he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not.
Know is a marriage term. In other words, before any Christian would marry the Antichrist, Jesus Christ lives in you. But when half the body of Christ will marry the Antichrist, Jesus divorces you and leaves you and says, I am not married to you. You marry the Antichrist. You've even got the stench of his bed upon you. You're soiled. No, no, no. I know you're not. Other gospels say they're going to say, Lord Jesus, but we preached for you. We played an instrument for you. We went to church on Sunday. And he'll say, get away from me. I never knew you. No Christian wants to hear that. But half the body of Christ will, because you just won't give it all to Jesus. You still are not sanctified. Surrender your all, people. We're in the midnight hour.
Verse 13, watch therefore.
Wake up and watch. Your watchman on the wall. The times are upon us. All this going on in this political system, all of this is in the Bible. It's later than you think.
For you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh.
You don't know the day or the hour because you're not into the Word, you have no oil. But the wise know. We know the seasons. Daniel chapter 12 says, at the end, the wise will understand. The wise will understand that the end is very near. The signs are upon us. The wise will understand that 666 comes before 777. The wise will understand that we're to stay in the field. The field is the world. And the wise understands there are two bridegrooms. The first bridegroom is the Antichrist. The second one is Jesus. Whose bride will you be? I pray you are blessed.
Amen. Amen.
At this time, let me introduce to you the owner of the produce place, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very well, Miss Sherry. Thank you for that great word today.
Awesome. Awesome word. Yeah, praise awesome word. The Lord. Timely, right on time, the midnight hour. Well, Scott, David left his stuff in the cart. Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
And behold, I come quickly, and my rewards with me, to give every man according to his work shall be. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Revelations 22, 12, and 13.
Absolutely perfect.
Amen.
Great, Scott. Thank you so much. In a moment, I'm going to pray for the sick. But first of all, if you're not saved out there in cyberspace, I'm going to give an invitation for lost people in here in a little bit. But if you're not saved, pray this prayer with me. Tomorrow may be too late. Here we go. Mean it in your heart. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I repent of all my sins.
I repent of all my sins.
I stop them all right now.
Stop them all right now.
I believe that Jesus paid my sin debt.
That
he died in my stead. I ask the blood of Jesus will wash away all my sins.
I ask the blood of Jesus will wash away all my sins.
I believe in my heart.
I believe in my heart
that God raised Jesus from the dead.
That God raised Jesus from the dead.
I confess with my mouth.
I confess with my mouth
that Jesus is my Lord.
That Jesus is my Lord.
Amen. Amen. Now, for those of you in cyberspace, the Bible says confession is made to salvation. You're supposed to open your mouth and tell someone. I invite you to tell me. In a little while, my announcer, Scott Mercer, will give you my telephone number. And please call and tell me you were saved. Leave it on my voicemail. Speak clearly. Say your name clearly. And, of course, I will be praying for you. At this time, I pray for the sick. But before I do, let me help you. Do you know that modern scientists are finally beginning to realize what the Bible says, that your DNA is affected by negative thinking and negative speaking? They did a little test, and everybody thought negatively and spoke negatively, and the DNA began to shrivel up and tighten up and swell up and get all tight and hurting and everything, all right. And then they did another test. The DNA of people who only thought positively and spoke positively, it began to relax and peace. Now see, that's in God's word all this time. The Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. A thought held for a long time comes out in your experience there. And the Bible says, death and life and the power of the tongue. Okay, so you see, a lot of you who are sick, you've been saying it a long time. You've been thinking a long time. You've been speaking a long time. So I'm going to pray for you. Precious Father, in the name and the power of Jesus, by the anointing of Holy Spirit, we just speak to this mountain of negativity, of saying, I've got cancer. I've got a hernia. I'm tired. I'm sick. I can't make it. All of this DNA. We just say, be gone. Fall off from this person in Jesus' name. You have no power there. And we speak to the DNA. With Jesus' stripes, you are healed. You go from strength to strength. You shall not die, but live and declare the works of God. Your youth is renewed as the eagles. Your strength is renewed as the eagles. You run, you're not weary. You walk, you're not faint. He bore your pains. He carried your sicknesses. He sent his word and healed you. Oh, son of right, arise with healing in your ways. Pick up your bed and walk and decree the truth of the word of God that one day the doctors are going to finally learn is true. Most of our sicknesses starts in our thinking. I'm sorry to tell you that, but I'm glad to tell you that. Pick up your bed and walk in Jesus' name. We all say,
I agree in Jesus' name.
Nothing is given you to keep, so go and tell. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is your second best friend, Sherry Medlock. Your best friend is Jesus. I love you with all my heart. And I can't wait until next time when you and I get together as the family of God to hear the joyful sound of
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the Trumpet of Truth.
You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, Vieira, FM 102.3. Is it true?
You're more beautiful than anyone ever. Every day you're the same. You never change, no, never.
Before there was light, walked across the pages of time. He who made every living thing. Behold. home to wake as a child. He became like the least of us. Behold him. Jesus, Son of God, Messiah, the Lamb, the roaring lion. Oh, be still and behold him.
He who died with sinners and saints, healed the blind.
shout loud, loud until the walls come down. Shout loud, loud until the walls come down. Shout loud, loud until the walls come down. Shout loud, loud until the walls come down.
And your radios are tuned in to W272BA, 102.3 FM and 91.5 FM, WMIE.
Three. This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
A confused man makes a confused family.
Dr. Tony Evans talks about how a man's leadership, or lack of it, shapes his family's life.
How a man responds to the authority of God in his life has tremendous repercussions for how you're going to make out in the marriage.
Celebrating 40 years of faithfulness, this is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of the Urban Alternative. They say it takes two to tango, but Dr. Evans says a successful marriage takes three. He explains today in one of his classic sermons drawn from the archives of 40 years of ministry. He begins by setting the stage for the origin of this particular lesson with these words about his own family.
As our kids were growing up, we would often have this chaos. Sometimes it would be just them fighting each other and sometimes them fighting us. And we had to restore order to the discord that had erupted in our home. That's what God wants to do with our lives. The same thing we had to do with our family, with our children. He wants to do with his children, restore order where chaos has set in.
And with that in mind, let's get started with his lesson titled Paradise Restored.
God did not create the universe because he had a need to create the universe. God has no needs outside of himself. One of the doctrines of God is his own self-sufficiency. He does not need something exterior to himself to help himself. Now, you know, we need that. We need compliments and support and people to encourage us and relationships. God does not need any of those things. He is totally self-sufficient and self-regenerating. God then comes and wanting to put his stamp on creation in a unique way, creates man. And when he creates man, he does so in a way that is very interesting. Verse 26 of chapter 1, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. And he blessed them, and he said to them, "Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and have dominion over the earth, the sea, and over the birds of the air, and every beast that moves on the earth." So man is created. Man is created to have dominion over the universe or the earth, more specifically, to be in charge of or to be the chief manager of God's creation, whose job it is to run his creation. So he not only creates man, he gives him managerial responsibilities in history. Now, chapter 1 is explaining how man came to be. God wanted to make somebody in his own image. Chapter 2 explains the process of man coming to be. Why? Because the coming to be of man was different than the coming to be of animals. First of all, God creates for man a perfect environment. We call it the Garden of Eden. The Garden of Eden is man's house. But it is not the sum total of his responsibility. Because you remember, in chapter 1, his responsibility is to have dominion over what? The whole earth. So all the garden is home for Adam and Eve. And at home, they were supposed to learn how to live when they left home to attack the rest of the world. Now, up to this point, God fixes up everything. He fixes up man, verse 7, breathes into his nostrils the breath of life, gives him a garden, east of Eden, verse 8. And he puts man in it, and out of the ground the Lord formed every tree. It's shady, it's good for food, and it's aesthetic. It's nice to look at. We've got a lot of trees in the garden, but there are two key trees. There is a tree of life, and there's a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Verse 15, "Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it and keep it." Now, let me pause right there, men. Because Eve is not on the scene yet. He told Adam, "You are going to live in my house, But you got to learn that you must have a job. Ladies, what you need to know is before God gave Adam a wife, he gave Adam a job. Good job, perfect job, and the theology of work, boy, there's so much I want to share, but the theology of work is very simply this. Work is supposed to be enjoyable. So if you're doing something that you do not like, you're not fulfilling God's ordained commandment regarding work. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, verse 16, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. Adam, you are going through a probation period. In that probation period, the question on the floor, men, is this. Will I obey God or will I not? That is also happening before he gets a wife. Why? Because his decision regarding that statement would have long-term repercussions about how well the wife fared. You see, how a man responds to what he's going to do regarding the authority of God in his life has tremendous repercussions for how you're going to make out in the marriage, lady. Because if he decides to rebel against God, you bear that repercussion. Men, it is important that you understand Adam knew his calling. Verse 19, out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field, bird of the air, brought them to Adam to see what he would call them, and whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. Now, you're talking about a scholarly job. That's a scholarly job. To name every animal or every species of animal is a scholarly job. And doesn't it seem like every name fits the animal it's called? I mean, can you think of the concept of calling an elephant a squirrel? I mean, it doesn't gel. So if you want to know how brilliant man was before the fall, that's how brilliant he was. That Adam was able to name every species of animal, and every animal's name fit the nature of the animal. So Adam is a brilliant man. Now, catch this, guys. God does not give Adam a wife until Adam does what he's been told to do. He can't get on his knees and say, Lord, I need me a woman. God says, my agenda.